Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It's great to be in church this morning. It's great to see so many faces in church. We want to welcome everyone online too, but particularly I want to welcome the visitors, and we really hope you've enjoyed it, and that God, you have a real sense of God's love and His grace in your lives this morning. So today, I want to begin by reading a scripture from Galatians 5. If you have your Bibles, it's great to follow. If you have your Bibles, you can follow it on the screen. But if you can follow it in your Bibles, it's fantastic. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. And it goes like this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and in verse 23, gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. If you see there, I've highlighted self-control. And so I really want to focus this morning on self-control as one of the fruit of the Spirit. But as one, you can see all of them still there. The self-control definition is the ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions and desires, especially in difficult situations. Let me read that again. The ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions and desires, especially in difficult situations. A number of years ago, I remember, and some of you guys here may remember, maybe not the younger ones, but maybe the older ones. There was a group of what you would call plays that and musicals that were done by Salty, the Songbook. Does anyone? How many people remember Salty, the Songbook? There we go. Gee, it's not as many as I thought. But there was one particular play they had called Music Machine, the Music Machine. And I will never forget, there was one song that hasn't left me, and I've tried in all to get it belted out of me, but I just haven't been able to get it out of me. But it was a song about self-control. And it was a highly, highly flavoured song from, you would probably say, Nashville, Tennessee, and it sounded like it was country music, and it was country music at its very, very best. And it went... And the words were, self-control is just controlling myself. It's listening to my heart. A lot of people talk about listening to their heart these days. And doing what is smart. Self-control is the very best way to go so I think I'll control myself. And look, I'm not much of a singer, but the catch line was, self-control is just controlling myself. And it just go over and over and over in your head. And so it's really interesting that, you know, I used to think, well, that's easy for you to say. Now I want honest raise of hands here. All right. Does anybody here have some sort of issues? Now, I'm not talking big issues, but issues with self-control. Does anyone have self-control issues? Now, can I please have a hand that showed me who doesn't have self-control issues? We're coming round to your place for lunch. For a long time in my life, there has been this struggle with this. I need to be more self-controlled versus allowing God's Spirit to bring that in my life. And as I've been preparing this message, and I want to be really honest with you guys today, I've really struggled of how to show how this looks. Because self-control, by its nature, the word doesn't have God in the center. It's self-control. So today I want to talk to you on the subject of self-control versus God control. Maybe freedom from self. Now, right back at the start of Galatians 5, we read Galatians 5:22, but right back at the start of Galatians 5, Paul says this. He says, it was for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery which you were once removed. And the whole chapter, I believe, is linked in with the freedom that comes through a life by the Spirit. There is a freedom that takes place when we recognise the power of what Jesus has done on the cross. And it's often hard to understand that. Here's a commentary that I read through the week. I've got a couple of commentaries this morning. But this commentary says, significantly, it is Christ who has made us free. We don't make ourselves free. Freedom is a gift. It is a gift. It is a gift of Jesus, given to us and received by faith. When we struggle to free ourselves, we just become more entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So I want to ask you today, who is in control of your life? Who is on the throne of your life? And you see the chair here. Well, let's call this a throne. It's not the toilet kind of throne. It's a throne. But it's a throne. Who's sitting on the throne of your life? Who is controlling your life? Do you determine what happens in your life? Or does God determine what happens in your life? In the world in which we live today, self is very, very important. So much of the conversation is about self. But is it improving the world in which we live? Is the world a better place to live because it's about self? I've got some opinions on that. And so I looked through the week, and one of the things that I did was I put into Google self-control. And I thought, you know, often these things, they'll come up, biblical references or anything like that. Now, I went through 4 pages on Google, and there was not one single reference of the Bible in terms of self-control. It was all about self-help and self-discipline and how to get there. So there are a number of words, and you'll get to see how much is about self, but here's a number of words with self, you know, linked in with them: self-inflicted, self-taught, self-importance, self-appointed, self-assured, self-made, self-reliant, self-confident, self-motivated, self-obsessed, self-opinionated, self-driving, self-governing, self-conscious, self-image, self-obsession, self-determination, self-assurance, self-love, self-effacing, self-loathing, self-sufficient, self-worth, self-starter, self-help. The world is about self. It is contrary to the way God sees things. In Matthew 16:24, I've got 2 versions to read out, but it says this: Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is fun, isn't it? Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And I read, which is normally the light version, but the message version. And so follow this one. This is really interesting. The message version is a bit expanded on 16:24, but it says this: Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. And this line really got me when I read it in reference. It says, self-help is no self at all, is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to find yourself, a lot of finding yourself going on these days, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but to lose yourself. What could you ever trade your soul for? It's just so opposite to what is all around us. Jesus summed up Christianity in this way: love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Self was last. Love God and love others, and also love yourself. And God knows that if we live this way, the world will be a better place, and as individuals, we will be better off, as much as we think we've got some good ideas. And there are some good ideas, but I think God's way is better. So coming back to the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now, there's the other fruit, but it's self-control. The world knows something of self-control, but almost always for a selfish reason. It knows the self-discipline and denial someone will go through for themselves. But self-control of the Spirit will also work, and I think primarily work on behalf of others. As we look again at the scripture from Galatians, right back when we started, Galatians 5 verse 1, I'll read it again. It says, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, which you were once removed." Paul says that we have been set free and then almost begs for us not to go back under a yoke of slavery. Don't go there, he says. Don't go back there. The freedom that comes with Christ is underwritten. Have you ever seen those insurance ads or your insurance policy? It'll say, well, double AMI or whoever, but it's underwritten by another insurance company. Well, this is underwritten. The freedom that comes is underwritten and empowered by the Spirit of God and not by human effort. Galatians 5 gives us an amazing picture of how freedom looks. How it looks if we live by the flesh and rule by self, and how it looks if we have life by the Spirit of God. The life by the Spirit of God, when you think of fruit, when you think of what fruit is, the fruit doesn't make itself. It comes from a seed that's been planted in the ground, and with our Christian life, or with the Christian life, it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of how good we can do it or how amazing we are. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not trying to get there. It's allowing God to minister into our lives and do things His way, and then the fruit will come following that. It's in relationship with God. And as we read in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, and this is the quandary we have with this. 5:16 says this: "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires." Let's say self. "These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." Josh, you can be pretty close to getting ready if you like. You can actually probably come and sit on the throne over here if you're close. When we consider self-control, who would have thought that self-control happens because we allow God to be in control of our lives? It's almost a contradiction. The Holy Spirit gives us self-control. Don't believe the lie that it comes through us bettering ourselves through our power, because it only comes through God's power. So this morning I've asked Josh to come and give me a hand. Let's give Josh a hand again. Let's give Josh a hand. So, look, we'll see how it works out, but we're going to do just a little bit of a little bit of a skit, and you can see I'm not an actor because you can see I've got the stuff in front of me. So it's right in front of me, okay? I don't know, it's on. You might have to switch it on. Let's get
it on. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Beautiful.
All right.
Hello, who are you?
Well, I'm God.
Like?
God the Father. I'm your father, Josh. Didn't you know that? In the form of the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you a question, Josh. How are you going with self-control?
I don't know. I think I'm doing pretty decently.
Going okay?
Yeah, cruising.
Can I be more specific?
Oh, I feel like.
Okay. How are you going with self-control on the basketball court?
Look.
Are any...
I have my moments.
You have your moments. What about your back chat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are any of your teammates here?
Oh, I think nearly the whole squad's here today.
Should I ask them?
No.
Okay. Do you want some help with that? Do you want some help with the self-control if you have your moments, as you say?
How do you want to help me?
Well, it's a two-way street, see? It's a two-way street. So I can help you, but you've got to want the help, okay? And so do you mind if I come and take a seat?
What am I going to have to give up? Do I have to stop playing basketball, or...?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying... that you've got to give up playing basketball. I'm not necessarily saying that. But maybe there's some things that I can help you with that'll make it a bit better on the opposition when you go and play. It's about trust, Josh. It's about working together. You ask the question, what do I have to give up? Like, if you're prepared to work with me on this as the Holy Spirit in your life, I'll help you. Now there'll be things that I'll bring to your mind if you open yourself up to it. There'll be things you might read in the Word that give you a reminder, and I'll help you, but you've got to be willing to allow that help.
Do I have a choice?
Much of the world will say that you don't have a choice, but you always have a choice. Let's do this together. Give Josh a hand, guys. If I allow God to be the throne of my life and allow Him to work with me, it's a very powerful thing. And we might ask the questions, well, what will I have to change? And I was just chatting with Graham the other day, and he said he was talking to someone a few years ago, and they said they're worried that they're going to lose their personality if they change, or, you know, what am I going to have to give up? What will I have to do? But it is a matter of trust. We've got to trust God through the power of His Holy Spirit that He is going to lead us in a way that is not just better for us, but it is better for those around us. And we always have a choice. See, the Spirit of God digs in or delves into areas that we don't quite understand. The understanding we have on how to deal, that we have on how to deal with our weaknesses is sometimes very different or even opposite of how God's Spirit works in our lives. It's beyond our understanding because the Spirit, because it's spiritual. But it is always for our benefit, and it always makes us better. I know that there was a time in my life where I was really struggling with something, and I took it to God, and I don't want to go into the story, and I've told the story before, but God changed my life as I needed to be committed to Him, and He changed my life. And there was a particular thing, and I'll be straight, it was pornography that God was dealing with in my life, and hello to the valiant men who did the course in the last couple of weeks. Good on you guys for doing it. But I wasn't, that's what I'd gone to God for. But you know, he dealt with insecurity in my life, and I've become so secure in who I am because of what God has done. But that was beyond my understanding of where He wanted to take me. And in and through committing that to Him and allowing His Holy Spirit to work in my life, He dealt with self-control issues, but on a greater level than I ever thought would happen. And I want to read you this commentary, and I thought this was fantastic. As I talked about the battle of the spiritual war that's going on, this inner spiritual warfare is the nature of the Christian life. It is the experience of all those who live by the Spirit. The conflict Paul is describing here is not the moral conflict that everyone feels at some time, nor the conflict of a wayward Christian who is no longer committed to Christ. This is the conflict of a thoroughly committed Christian who is choosing each day to walk by the Spirit. Each day, the Christian who chooses to walk by the Spirit is engaged in a fierce battle between the Spirit and the sinful nature. It is important to stress this point because many Christians feel ashamed to admit that they are experiencing such a conflict. They feel that mature Christians should somehow be above this kind of struggle. It is the struggle we have in life. And you know, if we go into the book of Ephesians, it talks about the armour of God and how we've got to put the armour of God on every day. It is a spiritual battle that we're in. But if we're willing to hand it to God, there's so much more help for us. And if our relationships with Him, it outworks in our lives. And whether it's love, joy, peace, patience, or self-control, it could be any one of those things. If we live in the Spirit, let us all also walk in the Spirit. I really need you to understand this part. And Josh, are you up the back? Where is Josh? Where's he gone? Can you come back, Josh, for a minute? I forgot to ask you I was going to do this, so I'll buy you lunch. We better understand what Paul wrote here if we understand the Greek words for walk are different in Galatians 5:16 and 5:25. Now, we read 5:16, but we didn't read Galatians 5:25. But it mentions walking in the Spirit. The first mention in 16 is from the Greek word peripateo. I'm not Greek, so just go with the Australian version of peripateo, mate. The first peripateo is the normal word for walking, used there as a picture of the walk for life, the walk of life. The second, which is in verse 25, it's stoicheo, mate, stoicheo, S-T-O-I-C-H-E-O, which means to walk in line with or to be in line with. Paul here is saying, keep in step with the Spirit. And it says, this verb means to be in line with, stand beside a person or thing, or hold to agree with or follow. And it's in the present imperative, indicates that this is to be a habitual practice. And so we'll start back here, Josh. So what it's actually saying, Now, can we? Do you reckon we can walk in step?
Yeah, pretty easy.
You've got shorter legs than me, so see if you can keep up. All right. So, let's go. Right, left, right, left, right, left, right. It's walking in step with the Spirit. Thanks, Josh. Give him a hand again. Don't clap him too much. It'll go to his head. So as I bring this to a close, I hope you understand what I believe God's trying to get across here in Galatians. But there are three very, very quick things that are just so important in this. And the first one is this walk must be in relationship with God. And in relationship, there are things that are attached to that. But like I just showed you, it's walking in step. It's spending time. You know, in things like prayer, reading your word, spending it with other believers, they're just so important. The second thing that I had was that it's got to be on purpose and in practice. We've got to be, you can't just let this Christian life lead itself. We must be purposeful in waking up every day and committing our lives to God. And the third and final thing is that it must be empowered by the Spirit. If you think you can do it all on your own, you're going to struggle and struggle and struggle. The power of the Spirit is just so amazing. And you may not full on see it, but if we ask the Holy Spirit, because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and said, I will send you a helper. I will send you a helper each day. And so we need to be empowered by the Spirit. And it's not ourself that gives us self-control, but it's God's Spirit that empowers us to be self-controlled. And just around the whole thoughts of, you may not understand and get this totally today, but Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As I was preparing this, and just as I close, I felt that there were some people in here who said, I don't understand the Holy Spirit. You don't have to. Let the Holy Spirit speak into your life. And secondly, I had some people say, I just don't understand the Word of God. Well, I just want to encourage you and give God a chance in that. And I just want to pray for you today, if that's you. And that if you don't have an understanding of the Holy Spirit, there is a bit of digging that's important for you to do. But give the Spirit of God the time and place to work with you to make changes in your life that are better for your betterment and for the betterment of others. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for those today who struggle in this area of allowing your Spirit to do the work in their lives. Father, I pray that, you know, it's just one thing each day, or one thing. God will just take one thing at a time. Father, I pray that we'll do our part in handing it to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would empower those by your Spirit, not only in their walk each day, but Lord, that they would empower them to get an understanding of your word. And so I pray that there is a spiritual transaction that takes here this morning that leads people in that way, that they would have a revelation of your word that is just so powerful and life-changing, and that your Spirit would just work into people's lives this morning, and that they would walk out of here with a new understanding of how that you want to work with us to get the job done. And so, Father, we just pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Amen.